But right now at 8:13 on the ticket, we have never done this in the 26-year history of our show. We embark on Talking Talk. We've done everything from robe and slippers talk to fill in the blank talk, but we've never talked about talking, so we're going to do Talking Talk now. And we're going to do this because about a week ago, during Muse in the News, this topic came up. And we got lit up with reaction after we just talked about it for a minute. And so many people latched onto this or identified with this. And Gordo, it has to do with your mathematical calculations that you will make before launching into a conversation.
Yes. I think that as I've, as time has gone on, but I think I always was kind of this way. Most things to me just don't seem worth the effort to tell or talk about.
That sounds like a guy who's checked out on conversation.
Well, I mean, I just do cost-benefit analysis on most of it, and I think, okay, if I'm going to say this, that person's then going to say this, then I have to say this, and then I have that, and I've already had the whole conversation. Done. In a split second in my head, the conversation's done, therefore I'm like, oh, this is great. I get to avoid actually having to mouth all the words and do it.
Boy, so that sounds like big.
I just sit there in silence.
There's people who want to talk to you. They want to hear what you have to say, and they feel like
who are these people that want to talk to
and
me?
They feel like it's important to you what they have to say.
No, if there's something to say, then I'll say it. But I've just noticed that a lot of people, you see this in old people a lot. They grow wordless. They just eventually get to where they're just kind of done talking. They've said all of it, and it's done. They're finished. Everything that I've, you know, needed to say that was important has already been said. Don't need to go over it. Fine.
Well, you clearly haven't hung out with my dad lately. He's yeah. always been quite verbose.
Well, I've always kind of marveled at those people who seem to just have an endless source of things to say.
Yeah, that's my dad.
And, like, I always sit there when I'm with someone and go and have lunch even. Just, I think, you know what? There's a lot that could be said. But it's not worth it. It's just, it's okay.
Okay, but Think about some of the times we've had meals over the years, and we'll get into a really interesting conversation. At least I think it is. Mm-hmm. And we talk for 30 minutes or so. And then we leave and go, hey, enjoy the talk. It could be something about we've never talked about before, and about our families, or just a theory about something. And that was...
Okay, have you ever done this with someone?
I thought you liked stimulating conversation.
I do. I love great conversation. I just find it's rare.
But it sounds like you miss out on some if you're automatically... What if you miscalculate? Like, you may think talking to Killer is not going to be interesting, but what if Killer has something really good for you for the next 20 minutes?
No way.
So okay. What are you doing? Right, both
man,
of you.
Come on. Leave him, out of this.
Use a better example, not right. one to troll us with.
I'm not trolling.
Let's not punch someone while they're down.
And he's always down.
He's not always born down. He's doing fine. Killer's doing fine. Now leave him alone.
No, it's just, hey, how rarely do you find someone who is actually, like, surprisingly interesting, insightful? They say things that are vulnerable. They're willing to be vulnerable. They're willing to be honest and not measured and all of that sort of thing. Those people are treats. And life is so rewarding when you stumble across one of those. I've just found that they're very rare. How many times have you had a problem and you wanted to talk to a friend about it? And you think, you know, I don't want to go to this friend because I know what they're going to say. Oh, man, no, that's totally ridiculous. That person's being a jerk to you, man. You know, I support you, and I'm just... And you're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Nothing about this is insightful. It's just just a pat on the back and everything. I'm looking for something that's interesting. I'm looking for, you know, I see... This is what I think that person is thinking, why they're reacting to you this way. They're off base. But you, approaching it from their angle, it's coming like... You know, then they have all this analysis that mm-hmm. is really insightful. Mm-hmm. It's just those people are rare. Or the people that you show some of your vulnerability to, and they respond with surprising vulnerability of their own. And that's where people commune, on that plane. They don't commune on the, you open up to someone and they're like, huh, yeah, man, oh, that sucks.
Okay, well, maybe
nothing from your life that maybe could give insight to this?
Or? Well, maybe that person has already ruled you out as, oh, gosh, I know he's going to say something really vulnerable, and I really don't want to deal with it right now, so I'm just going to say,
which is true.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, which that's fine. I think that's totally fine for that person to say that and say that they don't feel like being vulnerable. Those are just two people that don't talk soul stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're just surface-level people. They're just a little bit above strangers. That's fine, because the world needs that too. But when I'm going to make the effort to have a discussion with someone, I want there to be a reward for both of us on the other end that's
yes.
bigger than just the reward of, okay, this is, we're, you know, social interaction, a little quick, okay, good, done.
Yeah, you're lucky if, and I think I'm lucky because I think I've got 3, 4, 5 people in my circle.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll get really good advice from, honest advice, good conversation. They don't care about hurting my feelings or, you know, I think too many people will just tiptoe around everything because they want to get in, give you a little advice, but they don't really want to rock the boat too much. And then they just want to get out.
Right.
Because if you do get in and give some really honest, maybe hard to hear advice, well, now you're dug in for a while. And I think a lot of people don't want to dig in for a while on any conversation.
Right. Everybody's wanting to just get on with their lives.
Yes.
And so what basic thing can I say that gives me the veneer of care and gives me friendship points but keeps this thing truncated? And that's what most people do.
Okay, and we're probably getting worse about conversation, though. Since we just text it instead of say it, or since we look at our phones instead of talking to the people that we're supposed to be having a conversation with at dinner or wherever, at the park or wherever the setting is.
We heard from so many P1s after you brought up your mathematical formula, and they said they go through the exact same thing, and it's P1s, men and women, who said that it most often hits when they get home from work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're home from work, their significant other may also be home from work, or maybe they were home all day, but they will always ask, so how was your day?
Mm-hmm.
And we heard it from men and women that most of the time, that's when you do the calculation.
A fake answer. Right.
You do the calculation and you think, you know, I didn't really do anything that interesting today. So your answer is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine.
Yeah. Work was fine. Nothing happened. So on and so on.
But then that can tick off the significant other because then they think, but you were gone for 10 hours. You had to do something.
Right.
Of interest.
Well,
no,
because
really.
People also, they learn their significant other and they learn whether or not they will respond well to a story. Maybe something interesting did happen to you. But if you know that significant other is going to, it's going to launch them into some political talk. Like, for example, I had this conflict with a coworker, you know, it left me kind of feeling weird afterwards. I'm not sure if I should have said this. They acted offended. And let's say it touched on political talk with that coworker, but you're trying to discuss the personal issue that you had with the coworker with your significant other.
Right.
But they're so wound up with election coverage or something, you know, they're going to do that. So then you don't talk to them about it. Or you know that they will use any thing that you've gotten into with a coworker or somebody else as a way to get into problems with you. I've heard guys talk about that too,
mm-hmm.
and women that, that's because you're not kind when you talk to people. It, you know, they're going to get back, they're going to go off into that issue again, and they're still trying to win old arguments with you. So then no discussion becomes a discussion. Discussions become continuation of old problems that the couple has.
Right.
So that's another trap that people fall into.
I think I got really good advice on that a long time ago when my kids were little. And I think guys and girls, women, go through this. Both go through this. But I think from the guy's perspective, when you come home from work, she's had very little adult conversation all day long. It's just been taking care of young children.
This is stereotypical, but...
Well, it could go the other way. Maybe the guy stays at home and the woman comes.
Okay. Just like Michael Keaton.
Yeah, let's say
Mr. Mom.
Maybe he's Mr. Mom.
But most people have a household
but
people work.
Sometimes it's two people that work. But in the case of maybe where that person doesn't have a lot of adult conversation,
mm-hmm.
I got advice a long time ago, and I think it is solid, that you do owe that person some sort of either this is what happened at work, this is what happened on my way home, or at least turning it to her and say, well, what did the kids do today? What, you know, at least, and don't do the total tune out. You have a responsibility.
So you ask, what did y'all do all day? And then prepare for eyes glazing in 20 seconds.
They're your kids. You should have an interest, and maybe they took that first step, or maybe they you know, did something really wrong and needed to talk about it as a couple.
Just a partial tune out, though.
But you know.
I know. But don't be the jerk and just shut it down. You do have a responsibility of having
being
conversation.
A good
yes, being
yeah,
a good listener.
Being a good listener, good conversation.
And bring something to the table of, yeah, this is something interesting. You know, well, down the street, I just noticed they're adding a patio to their backyard.
God, that sounds boring.
I know, that's not great, but it's
but
better
it's something.
Than... This is what Fernando said to me today. Well, not to pick out Fernando, but I'm just saying, whoever your coworker is, that may not be that interesting either.
Well, I think that I am a fantastic listener. I think I'm a really good listener, and I am genuinely interested in people.
I would say that too.
Love,
when you tune in, yes.
Love listening to people's lives yes. and their stories. And I'm not. We also have friends that are the only listen to you while waiting to get, their mind is churning on what they want to talk
yes.
about. And they don't listen to
that's
you.
That's a tough person to talk to.
Boy, it is.
And I'm not that way. I love talking about other people's lives much more than I like talking about my own.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to come to the table with good world-class Olympic listening skills, that person needs to start coming
bring
to the
something.
Table. Well, just a little editing. That's all I'm asking for. It's just, don't give me a first pass at something. Just kind of think through a little bit and say, is this really pertinent to the story? Is the number of steps that you took to get in the drugstore where you witnessed the holdup that important?
Right.
Maybe that's an irrelevant detail of the story, and maybe get to when you were face-to-face with the gun barrel. That, to me, seems like, okay, you got a story going now.
Mm-hmm. And I saw Mary as I was walking, and did you know she got a new car? It's like a crossover, but it's not
The story of the holdup, sweetie.
But
if
anyway,
we can get to the story of the holdup.
Well, Mary and I started talking about...
I want to say, but
I'm
just
saying,
this car, and... Yeah. You got to edit.
I don't think anyone's going to satisfy you. I mean, Hollywood doesn't hit the mark with you.
No. It's not that hard. I know some people who are just incredible storytellers. People that I marvel and am envious of them when I sit across from them at a table and they tell me a story. I had lunch with a friend the other day. He's a great storyteller, and I'm always impressed with his insightfulness during the story and the way that he lays it out. I mean, it's just wonderful. And I wish I was more, I was even better at storytelling. Sometimes I get off in the weeds of details. But I think people just aren't thinking about it.
All right, what about this one? That's one thing with your friend, but what about the total stranger? Like, I think people who are in the profession of either driving a vehicle or maybe cutting hair, they feel like they have to talk to you about your day. And you don't even know these people.
Yeah, I
so
think
how's your day
that's
going?
Interesting.
I think the hair cutter
is a very interesting one. That how many moments of quick answers and silence do you have to give them as brushback pitches before they realize this is not going to be one of the talking haircuts?
Usually about 5 or 6 inside pitches.
Yeah.
And then finally, yes, you can have some silence, but how's your day? Where are you going this weekend?
I tell you, half the time I'm seated next to a guy in a chair beside me. Who's getting his hair cut, and he has the biggest, huge volume, a war and peace of experiences that he's sharing, and not a single one of them are interesting. He just talks and chatters, and he's just going and going. And I'm like, I want to turn to him and say, dude, none of this is interesting. You had to have had something in your life that's worth retelling. And none of these are it.
I just told you I got a new pair of khaki pants last week.
It's not interesting. It's not interesting.
But they fit really well.
And then I'll hear the guy. Butt. Then I'll hear the guy drop 3/4 of the way through it. My mom got killed when I was 7. And anyway, but these pants, they came down to like below my ankle. And I was like, you got to raise those up. I'm like, dude, you were onto something. You had something there. Go back to that. That seems really life defining. This is going to be great. This is going to be interesting, the way it colored the rest of your life, the way you saw adult relationships afterwards.
We might get some tears.
Yes.
It'd be great.
I mean, you got something.
He doesn't want to be vulnerable. He just wants to talk pants.
Don't go back to the pants.
So I think when, and by the way, you're listening to live coverage of Talking Talk here on The Ticket. how much of it goes back to what you do for a living? Because we've always wondered, because we have to talk for 4.5 hours for a job, when we get home, are we talked out? We also wondered at one point, is America talked out?
We proved you wrong on that
Or
one.
The guy next to you at the barbershop, does he live alone, doesn't see anybody, doesn't talk to anybody, and then when he goes to get his haircut, that's his one chance to let loose.
Right.
So it's the opposite of what we go through, and so he's just going to tell any story that comes to his mind, whether it's interesting or not. Because I do find that, I find that in my life, like you, Gordo, I would rather interview a person than be interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Much rather do that.
Yes.
And so, like, if I'm out at dinner with a bunch of people, I would rather ask that person questions, because I don't really like being on the hot seat. I don't like the spotlight being on me at a dinner table or when you're out with friends. I'm more interested in sitting back and listening to everybody's stories. And I wonder if part of that has to do with either I'm more of an introvert, part of it has to do with our job, but also I get burned by that. And so I'll have a great time out with, let's say we're out with 10 people,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just kind of sitting back listening. And then on the way home, well, you didn't say anything. Did you have a terrible time?
No,
that was great. We had great stories.
I can't tell you how often I'm burned by that. No, I swear to God, I had a great time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I love just listening to everybody. Well, you know, you barely said a word. Everybody thought you had a bad time. No.
Yeah, I got that a lot. I mean, I would get the... And part of that, I think, also may be a product of the job, because our jobs are kind of interesting. And if you go to a party and people know what you do and they think that you're a talk show host, they think that you must talk all the time and you're
right.
The same way that you are on the air. You must be that way in person. And, you know, you're going to a party and you just want to listen. You're not going there to hold court or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so people, I think, are sort of hyper-judging our behavior if they know who we are or what we do. You know, they may be curious about it. They may have listened to us, and so they're observing us more than they would a regular party goer, and we're kind of held to a different standard in
right.
some sense that way. And so they think that you, by being quiet, are not having a good time.
So every once in a while, I should just launch into a live spot at the table?
Right.
Tell a funny ticket story. Yeah.
That would prove to them. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. It's always the same with me. If I'm being quiet, then I'm in a bad mood and think I'm better than everyone. If I'm, okay, I'll talk and I'll tell a bunch of stories. Well, boy, you dominated the conversation. Oh, okay.
All right.
All right.
Right.
I'll be quiet.
Oh, I see. It's a can't win.
Yeah. It's one of those can't wins. Yes. And I feel like basically all of life has can't win me to such a degree that I'm just going to be quiet and just sit over here now. I'm just withdrawing from life.
Take a time out.
I'm just taking the time out.
Yeah, do you think because our jobs have required us for so long to talk so much that by the time we're 80, we're just going to be sitting there with nothing to say?
Nothing to say.
Yeah. If we go visit each other 20 years from now, we will just sit down and really say nothing.
Yeah.
And that'd be fine with me.
Don't you guys love, though, people who can tell their own stories and experiences well?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like, yes, everybody has basically lived a novel. It's just a matter of finding it. And when you find the person who knows the novel points of their life, or even if they don't know it, but you can kind of draw it out of them, and they just tell you their experience and what they took out of it, it's like that is, I think that's the social stuff that we live on. That's our lifeblood.
Yes. Okay,
are the stories that other people can tell.
Just give us half a chapter, though. Don't give us the whole novel, right?
Well, it depends on how that person communicates. Like, a lot of times, you'll find the most interesting people are people who tell, like, kind of highlights, and then you are the ones who dig in and ask, you know, wow, that's interesting. So when
you were a lion tamer,
So you were in traction for 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
2 years. Like, what is that experience like, that feeling of physical imprisonment, even though you're technically a free person, you know, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. being bedbound? You know, then you can draw the insights out of them. And a lot of times you'll find them having insights while they're talking, which is really fascinating. You know what it was like? It was kind of like, and then they try to zero in on what the feeling was and paint some words on top of it. And it's just, that's great.
Yes.
That's great stuff.
We're causing conversation paranoia right now with P1s.
What do you mean?
Now the next time they have a conversation, they're going to wonder, maybe that person who's talking too much.
Wound up in their mind, they can't even speak because they're trying
maybe
to
I'll let
right.
the game come to me a little bit or something. You're going to overthink it next time.
Right. But a lot of times I find that that's why I am reluctant to speak about myself is I don't know the right words to put on things. Like most of the most impactful human experiences I've had are things that feel almost beyond words, and to put any words on it, it limits that experience so much and only gives one handful of the elephant that it is, you know, you're just grabbing one part of that little
small
piece.
So you veer off and say, no, I'm not even going to get it.
Or you just tell it feels overwhelming to me.
Or I tell it and then I hate myself for telling it because I feel like I didn't do it justice.
Yeah, it didn't do it. Any time you try to put into words a huge story, you don't do it justice.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's talking talk for the first time ever.
A lot of talking about talking.
It's 8:33 on the ticket.
Talking.
Coming up next, we're going to talk some more as we talk to Jerry Jones about his weekend at the Combine.